Kia ora koutou and welcome to a new look South Pacific Muscle. Not for any reason other than it's Friday night and the boys have all had some pretty big weeks and doing a bit of catch up on food and some still training. And Mike is absent without leave, so could be anywhere in Dunedin, dodgy little place. Tonight we were going to rip into and just talk about supplements and things, and we'll do that, but probably worth just having a bit of commentary on the international front about some of the things that are going on out there. And, you know, we've got the, I think Chicago and that coming up. So we've got a couple of weeks before we've got any big shows, but there's been a couple of sort of reveals of physiques and things. And did anyone see Sergio at 304 pounds 7 weeks out?
Yeah. Sergio is a wise dude. I saw him when I was in LA, and it was kind of cool because he was sitting with Chris Cormier, and I went past and I said, "Oh, do you like my shirt?" Because I had a Doherty shirt on, those red football shirts on. He goes, "Yeah, I've got one like that." I said, "I know, that's why I bought it, because I saw it." And I got Tony to send it over to New Zealand. He said, "Okay." But man, he was like sitting in the seat and his shoulders were like taken over, and Chris Cormier is like, "Yeah," trying to make room for him. So he's already a big wide unit without being 305 pounds. So the thing I'm really excited about is Sergio versus Hunter. Hunter's latest photos are just incredible. The aesthetics of it are actually what's mind-blowing. I mean, the condition, I mean, you know, 7 weeks out, like 7 days out for him. But the aesthetics are really, really good. But if you've got a long-tooth memory like me, you remember they did a photo shoot. Oh, it must have been about 7 or 8 years ago. And they both looked like a pair of amateur shit, yeah. You know. And it was like Sergio looked like he had some potential, and Hunter looked like he had none at all. And now to see these boys, these bangers, who are going to be the top two or three up there, you're going, holy shit, some things changed fast. So it's going to be great to see the first time they've been side by side on stage. So I wonder if they're friendly or not since the day where Labrada dropped Sergio from the team.
he reminds me, like, his structure's kind of almost a Steve Kuklo sort of just that big. He's a big man, you know. He's 5'11" and he's got clavicles for days. He looks like he's really put some real quality size on. But again,
perhaps a little bit more aesthetic than Kuklo. But you know, it's the old problem when you're that tall and that wide. It takes a little bit longer to fill the gaps, you know. So we always see it when we start training, and the little short guys pack on muscle and fill it out real fast, and we get jealous, and then the bigger guys take a little bit longer. And then once we filled it out, it's the old classic case of a good big man always beats a good little man. And tough shit if you're a little man, because I'm not. So
the other one in the mix here, though, is in that show is Akeem Williams, who, you know, look, I met him in 2015 or 16, and he was a monster then, but now, you know, if he can nail his condition, he's going to be the big man amongst big men. So
Akeem Williams and Nate Williams, it's like the brother from another mother.
I tried to claim that, and I kind of put us side by side, and we look slightly different.
Just the legs. He's got the legs on you, Nate, otherwise you're twins.
You know,
Yeah, man. People sometimes say that's like a weakness, but sometimes I look at it and think, fuck, it just makes him look so much thicker in the upper back than everyone else. And I guess, you know, if he can nail his condition, there's three guys that are going to go toe-to-toe. And I listen to people's picks and, you know, some had Hunter, some had Sergio, and some had Akeem. So,
And isn't this show's top three going to be light years ahead of the California, where – let's hope it was lighting, because they all looked out of shape.
Yeah, I thought that was sort of a step down from the previous show. And other people made that comment, but again, hard to tell without being there. And no disrespect to anyone that was, because, you know, we weren't in the front row and we're in the judging seat. So, but it's going to be interesting, because the thing that I kind of cottoned on to is we're running out of pro shows real quick, and you've still got people like Ian Valier, you know, the three guys we've just mentioned, Ruli, you know, that haven't qualified for the Olympia yet. So if you do the maths, someone ain't going to the Olympia this year, which is...
Didn't Ian post an update recently?
Sorry, Ian, yeah.
Ian, yeah, it was quite impressive in the legs. It's like, dude, like you lacked them anyway. God,
like, you know. Did you see Sergio's comment on that post from Ian?
No,
Sergio commented and said, I've never had my feelings hurt from somebody else's post before. It had like 1,000 likes or something. And then Sergio updated a story and he's like, I'm on my 9,936 set of spots after seeing Ian's update or something. It's quite funny.
Oh, wow. He's got some good humour, eh?
Yeah. Man.
I think because Ian's going...
Sorry,
Ian. Because Ian's doing Tampa, which is after the show that they're doing, isn't it? So whoever doesn't qualify from that one have probably got to jump in the show that Ian's in.
Mm. Yeah. Is Puerto Rico going ahead, or we don't know?
I didn't know if it was open, though. I thought there was, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Two or something, you know?
Yeah, okay. So the only other qualifiers other than that, I guess, we've got one over in Europe as well, haven't we?
Is it? Yeah, they're like the one in Madrid or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because I know the English show is for the following year, so.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, just means the quality of the Olympia lineup will be just, it's not going to be a stacked, massive 25-man lineup. It might only be 16, 17 guys, but they'll all have turned it on. So, you know, so be it.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see who does the Arnold as well.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Is that
before the Olympia?
2 weeks before the Olympia.
Oh, wow. Whoever wins that has got to be a somewhat leading favourite then, don't they? I mean, that title, and, you know, you ain't winning the Arnold unless you're bringing it. So,
here's a question for you, Mike. As a pro, you know, do you enter the Arnold because you're in shape anyway, or if you're a serious contender for the Olympia... Do you hold for the Olympia because peaking for the Arnold with a 2 week turnaround?
No, if you've qualified and you're a contender for the Olympia, you put all the eggs in that one big O basket. Mm. I mean, let's put it, there is a slight difference to this one, but I qualified for the Nationals by winning Taranaki at the end of the calendar year and then won the overall, like, you know, 11 and a half months later. Little difference, but yeah, if you can get in without having to wipe your body through it. Yeah, unless your coach seems to think that your body benefits from some type of peaking mechanism. But then the risk is, let's say you do it and you don't win. Suddenly, you know, you're in that mindset of you're just down a little bit. So there's more to lose than to gain.
Yeah, I guess, you know, people would always draw the question that if you, you know, place second at the Arnold and didn't come in looking that great, are you getting a look in 2 weeks later at the Olympia, or are you already written off?
They might punish you. So why take the risk, you know?
I think what they're hoping for, because it's 2 weeks before, I reckon what they're banking on is, like, those guys that probably know they're more on kind of like that 6 through 10 spot, they all might just jump in because it'll be the prize money plus the qualification for next year. So you might get like a super stack show with like those kind of 6 to 10 spot guys.
Mm-hmm. And surely like William Bonac, and will he be doing it, or is he already qualified for the Olympia? How do they...
No, I think he's qualified. Is it top? It must be top five qualified.
Must be, yeah. So where did he come? Was he fifth?
Yeah, fourth. No, you're fifth. Because then it was a team. It must have been, because it was.
Yeah, so it'll be Rami.
Yeah, he's fifth.
Yeah. I'm wondering who's doing it. It'll be interesting.
Hey, the other thing that I quite enjoyed, and I don't know if you guys saw it. Did anyone see Guy Cicinino's little outburst on the hack squat?
Yeah.
Right. Shit man syndrome.
Aiden, you're a man who loves your hack squat. If someone stood in front of you on the hack squat and was fucking yabbering with their mates, and you were, you know, in your 7-plate set, I saw you do the other day. It was really cool, by the way. He jammed on those extensions that we got made up. And did 7 on the hack, and it's a pretty tough hack. I will say it's the same hack that Ian did, but he do 10 or 11 on.
11 on it.
Nuts. Yeah, it's just off the planet. But 7, like, I don't think I could do 7, but you did 7. If Mike and I were standing in front having a yak and clowning around, how would you react to that?
Nah, I'd be all right, eh? I think especially if it was you two. But, I don't know. I think I kind of see why he did it, but like everyone's kind of saying, like, yeah, fair enough what he did, but just how he went about it was a bit kind of 0 to 100, eh? Like it was kind of exploded right off the back, but I kind of see where he's coming from as well.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, is he buying into his own hype that he's this aggressive little guy? Because you watch some of his Instagram stuff and it's like, fuck this, man, the pussy doesn't, you know, just trying to be this super tough dude. It's like, dude, you're 4'9" or whatever, just pop your collar and walk away. It's like, it just comes across a bit dicky, you know. At the end of the day, you know, for a start of it, the hack squat's on an angle, so you're probably looking up, you know. What's the hassle? Do one set, it may not be perfection, re-rack it and do it again, you know. It's a piece of equipment. They're not going to actually bump into you and knock you over. There's no risk of injury. So, you know.
I can see it from both ways. I can see it from both sides. Like,
I know you can, Nate. You will see it both ways.
Yeah, look. If I'm probably not so much on the hack squat, but if I was squatting, in front of me.
Totally different, because there's a danger risk there, you know, but on a machine where you locked in and the machine ain't going to topple over, you know, bit silly. Just finish the task quietly afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, it is what it is, and I really didn't see a big issue with it. Look, if he got off and snotted them, and you know, I'd probably go, oh well, I've seen worse. But you know, I guess, you know, I guess if you're being filmed and you had all the pressure of, you know, you still had to qualify for the Olympia and things are pretty intense, you can kind of understand it. But
the way he strolled over though, on an angle, it made it look like they weren't directly in front. Now he swears in his replies that they were in front and then moved away. But I'm watching the video and his head is on an angle. So that's a load of shit. They were off on an angle. They weren't directly in front. They were off there, you know. So I think he's just telling that story to make it, oh yeah, they were backing up. Sorry guy, they're about a foot taller than you, the two of them. I don't think they were backing up.
That footage of it, because they were filming for guests, was it their footage that got out? Because if they were filming it, wouldn't they just not release it? Like, it just seems a bit weird. Like, was it filmed off somebody's cell phone, or like, did they put it out like on purpose kind of thing? Like, it's a bit weird.
It was someone else's phone, because you could catch the other cameraman in the shot.
It was a camera.
Not a bad marketing thing though, Aiden. Even, you know, because all publicity is good publicity. Yeah. If you can't, hey bro. Get your camera over there and just pretend like you're random and get over here and have a bit of a fucking talk and I'm going to rant at you.
He's already released shirts, bro. Have you seen the shirts? He's already got shirts.
Oh, I love it. I will say he has capitalized on this, and Lee Priest has been absolutely amusing when he's been wearing the Cisternino shirts, and he's been doing little rants in the supermarket when he's driving. It's been quite good. Anyway, so... I guess every cloud has a silver lining, and you've got to sort of capitalize on these things. So.
Lee Priest would be the only man that would look up to Cisternino, you know, the other barely. So.
Hey, talking Lee Priest, what is this carry on about possibly Lee competing again? I mean, we saw when he came back and did the NABBA, he still looked fantastic. But I guess now that times have changed and move on, he may actually be allowed on an IFBB stage.
Everyone knows you can't make a comeback after 9 years.
I quit. I'm fucking out of here. Throw my toys.
No.
I did it after 11 years, and it was tough, I've got to say, after having 11 years off.
Yeah, I'm laughing because mine was a 9-year break. Yeah. That's why I'm laughing. But, he's bad now the IFBB enough. It'll be funny as hell if he comes back, because if he comes back to the IFBB, you're just sucking the dick of the people that you've been bagging, you know, and if you don't, well, what are you going to do? WBFF? I don't know.
It took me probably a year of watching Lee, and I watched him some days and I thought he was the funniest guy in the world. Other days I thought he was an absolute wanker, and I was just so polarized by the guy, and I just didn't know how to take him, whether I really liked him or I thought he was a fucking just a wank. And anyway, the more I've watched him and kind of got used to a sense of humor, I think he's just a real Aussie larrikin, to be honest, you know, to throw a fucking kind of term out there. And I quite like his sense of humour, and he is who he is. He doesn't give too many fucks about what people think about, you know, and he's pretty comfortable with himself. So, you know.
Tell you, the funny one with Lee is, remember when Grant made his debut in 2009 and he ripped shit and asked for Grant customs. The next year, when I competed and I ran into Lee the next day and I had a look online, and I didn't come in on, I missed my peak and whatnot. And I told him, I said, I'm actually disappointed you didn't rip me enough. He said, he actually said some nice things. I kind of was looking forward to
reckon that, because I think Grant became quite good friends with Lee after that, I think by, you know, Lee sort of saying that was in his offbeat kind of way, and fuck, like when I read it, I was like, holy shit, that's a bit rough. But, you know, Grant brought his legs up significantly after that. So sometimes I think, you know, when you're a bodybuilder, it would be, I mean, I can imagine 90% of guys, if they were in Grant's position, would be mortified and probably would fucking throw their toys and not want to play anymore.
Now, Grant's the kind of guy who'll go, fuck you, I'm going to show you.
Yeah,
he would. That's actually probably what he needs. I think when Grant has a lot of yes men around him, I don't think he nails it. I think he cruises, he believes hype about how good he is. Grant's got the most just sensational genetics.
Hasn't he just?
But I think that maybe he believes that you know, he was in Hamilton and maybe it was a bit too small a town and they're all telling him, Grant, you're the man. Because maybe, you know, because when he did that WFF Universe, he was... His condition was obscene. He's never looked that good before or after, you know. So if he ever brings that again, it's like, watch out, you know.
We probably need to catch up with him. He's heading back to New Zealand by all accounts.
I thought he was going to be back by now. So, yeah, he was booking some flights or accommodation or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, that'll be cool. Be good if we can get him on for a bit of a yarn. Right. Should we talk supplements, eh? Mike's favourite topic.
If we must, I mean, I have a guess at it, you know.
What I thought we'd do is just because, like, we could talk about all sorts of stuff with supplements, but I thought it might be cool to just talk about our own personal at the moment. What do we take? And I thought, like, if we started with health supplements and then we did it, then we moved on to sports supplements. So maybe do a round. Mike, do you want to talk about what you're using in terms of supplements that you would consider health supplements rather than sports specific?
Yeah, sure. I don't eat fish at all. Hate it. And so I have fish oil caps every day. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously got, you know, benefits, heart health and brain health. And so I start my day with that. It's a lot of research for it. What else do I take health-wise? Now and again, I have a drink. I've got this drink here. It's got a kombucha green tea. No, it's a kombucha tea. Really nice flavouring. I mix it with Sprite Zero. Just digestive health type products. Now and again, one of the things I do take is, you know, obviously people know I run Body Science in New Zealand and we do a test booster called Triandrabol. It's got a really good dose of vitamin K2. And there's a study that shows that K2 actually leaches the calcium from the arteries around your heart and deposits it into your bones. And, you know, as we get older, you know, we all get the bloods and, you know, we see the calcium scores and it gets a little bit scary. So I've been taking that, not for the libido or test boosting effect, although it does help. And, you know, I know from the sales figures, there must be a lot of happy customers out there, but I actually use it for the benefit of removing the calcium around the arteries. You know, the university study we've got access to has proven that it does that. So, you know, live a little bit longer.
That's a real interesting one. I hadn't heard about that. And, you know, obviously I use supplements for cardiac health as well. But I always wondered about calcium scores and how you could manage that, the risk of, you know, calcium and the plaque deposits and all those sort of things that come with it. So K2.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to it. I actually had a calcium score. I paid about $400 to have my calcium score done. And, you know, there were some parts, it's pretty good, pretty damn good, but there was parts where we went, okay, need to have keep an eye on that. And so I then followed the Palumbo plan after that, which was basically I really added a lot of, it's not a supplement, but macadamia oil.
Yep.
Which
yep.
is really ironic, because macadamia nuts are as expensive as gold, but the oil is cheap, which is made from the nuts. I find that quite funny, really. But I add a lot of macadamia oil, and then I cut my sugars right back, and I add a bit of psyllium husk fiber, which doesn't always agree with my tummy. I've got to keep that at a low level because it gives me a bit of bloating, a bit of gas. But doing that my cholesterol dropped significantly within a matter of a few weeks. It's really interesting the way the macadamia oil works. You hear Palumbo talk about it. It's a bit like sugar gets in, and it's a bit like littering, little bits of litter around your house.
Yep.
And then, or bad cholesterol, you know, LDL, and then the macadamia oil is good cholesterol. The HDL goes the other way around, getting super stuff. But the macadamia is like a big vacuum cleaner. It's going up, cleaning up the crap. So, you know, the psyllium husk also binds with the bad fats in the digestive tract and just chucks it out the back door before it gets into your system. So that's been really, really, it was like staggering how fast the response was on that. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
I also take, I wouldn't call it necessarily health, but collagen supplement. We do one that was studied at the Australian Institute of Sport. Because some people may know, I got a bit of a bicep tear recently. I've always got some niggle here or there. It's always the injury I have or the one I'm about to have. And that's really highly rated. And some people, they go, jury's out on it. Well, with the business I run, the people that are calling me who have PhDs in sports nutrition saying, really rate it, can I buy your collagen? And we're talking super rugby teams, you know, Olympic athletes and whatnot. These guys, their little finger knows more about nutrition than the three of us combined. You know, and they're rating it. So, I take that.
So collagen, is that the function of that to increase the collagen production within your body?
Oh, I think it's introducing it in it. And it's we use the type 1, 2, and 3 collagen. So it's introducing that in the system, and it's for soft tissue repair. So I wonder whether a lot of people are buying collagen and buying into collagen because they think it's going to make their skin, nails, and hair look better. And I think maybe the jury's out on that, but definitely for me, the ship's already sailed anyway. But that's the soft tissue, the tendons, the ligaments, the muscle damage and whatnot is why and where it does work. So, those that are targeting the skin and hair, I think they're the type 25, 6, and 27, but ours is type 1, 2, and 3. So it's actually just putting the collagen into your system. So,
cool. Aiden, what sort of health supplements are you using at the moment?
And if you say a test booster, I'm going to slap you because you want it.
The only ones I'm taking at the moment is just the like standard vitamin C, fish oils, and then because of my job, I get a few samples from different companies and bits and pieces at work, so I'm just taking like a joints mobility supplement as well, and those are just the three I'm taking at the moment.
Is that joint stuff like chondroitin and glucosamine sulfate, that sort of standard
one?
What's your job?
I'm a grocery buyer at Pack and Save, so I like do all the buying of the stock and that kind of bits and pieces, and they're always dropping in samples of the new products and that, and I always grab all the kind of health supplement ones and give them a crack.
I reckon you've got the perfect job for a buyer.
Yeah, right.
I've invested a lot of my health recently because I neglected my health for many years, and so you know I do the usuals, you know your multis, your B complexes, and your C's, etc. I consistently take 6 grams of fish oil, and mainly that's sort of for me is around cardiac health, etc. But also a bit around the anti-inflammatory sort of properties. But also mood. I find it really sort of flattens out my highs and lows, I suppose. It seems to work really well. And in combination with that, I take a bit of 5-HTP just for sleep and mood as well. So for me, managing mood is quite a big thing because I like to be in a really good headspace when I'm concentrating on achieving goals. So that I sort of, you know, that's a little category on its own, I guess, for me. I'm also using things like curcumin sort of for anti-inflammatory properties, and I was spending about $120 a month on buying individual items for organ protection, essentially. So that kind of got a bit out of hand. So I ended up buying, I got this, and look, and I'm not saying it's the greatest one at all, but that's the Piana Organ Defender. But there are other supplements. There are a bunch of different companies out there that make similar sort of things, and it's got a bunch of things in, like your CoQ enzyme. It's got, you know, your milk thistle type stuff. It's got the N-acetylcysteine, and for those people interested in looking after your liver, quite useful if you're taking a lot of oral steroids, or you've had liver issues, or you've been a heavy drinker, or what it might be. N-acetylcysteine is an oral, I guess, form of glutathione, which essentially it's the product that they give people that are overdosing on paracetamol, which obviously destroys your liver. So it's actually got a clinical use in hospitals. It's got that in that product, so it's really good in terms of that. It's got a bunch of other things in that are protecting, you know, your cardiac health, your liver, your kidneys, etc. So that's pretty good. From a clinical perspective, my blood pressure is the best it's been in 20 years. It's actually getting a bit low at times. My cholesterol readings, I always had very low bad cholesterol, LDL, but my HDL at times became pretty much non-existent. I've had lab tests where the doctor couldn't understand it, and the lab said it might have been a flawed test, and I went, probably not. But I found that my HDL has stayed at a pretty good level, an acceptable level, and it's a hell of a lot better than it's ever been. So from that perspective, my markers, my kidney functions, my liver functions, that they're all looking really, really good. And I think it's really important, you know, particularly like I'm a week out now, week out from committing to dieting for a show. If I had my blood markers done and they were poor, I wouldn't put myself through it. So, you know, it's useful to see that. You know, the only change for me was taking these products. Like you, Mike, I've got a big focus on digestive health. So, you know, there are a bunch of things I take for that. Obviously, glutamine's pretty useful there, but apple cider vinegar. I do take a green product. I'd be interested in seeing what else is out there, because I've got a feeling that green product goes through me pretty quickly and sometimes means I've got to dash to the toilet. So, you know, I know one of the things I should be taking is a fiber supplement of some kind, whether it's Metamucil or, you know, something like Palumbo's Fiberlize or something.
Mate, I researched it. Don't get Fiberlize. It's really expensive.
Yep.
The psyllium husk is like $6 for 250 grams. And basically, Fiberlize is flavored psyllium husk. it's about $50 a tub or something. So
I've only ever used psyllium husk prior to a show when you just got to get that last little bit out when you're a bit dry and I've used it and it worked pretty well. But I think I'm adding that, because as you say, some really good benefits in terms of cholesterol profile, blood lipid profile. So anyway, yeah. That's the
One more product I use, which might be of interest to you. We do a product. We originally branded it as Sleep RX and used it as a sleep product, but now we call it Calm because we realize that it's actually good at any time of the day. And it's got a, I've tried to switch off using fat burners in the day. I used to get a bit addicted to getting up and having them to get my day going, because I found it was far more productive and gave me about a 2-hour head start on the day. But it's got a nootropic ingredient in there called Blue Nest, which is a clinically proven, it's a Bavarian lemon balm extract, and it actually has been clinically proven to make you smarter for 2 hours. It actually increases cognitive function, which is great, but it also suppresses your cortisol response. And so you can take it straight after training to help get your cortisol back down, or about 2 to 3 hours after you wake up when your cortisol should be down, but stressful, you know, your environment, if you've got a stressful job like you do. And cortisol, if it's elevated, stores visceral fat in and around your organs of your gut, and it makes it harder to burn fat. And so I take this, and so I've used it in the past and found that I was dropping fat very comfortably, particularly off my it was the visceral fat, because my skin folds remained the same, but my waist came in. So, and I just like the calming aspect of it. You can use it at night time to help you sleep, because it's got a product in there called Sisyphus, which is great for sleep patterns. and it just basically gets rid of the mind chatter. Yeah. But it's a really good mind thing. I'll send you a bottle.
Yeah, man, that'd be really cool. I've been playing around with sleeping because, you know, sleep, obviously, you know, you're growing when you're sleeping. And I was finding I was sleeping for 12 hours, waking up tired. And so I've been doing the sleep study, had the things up my nose and a thing around my chest and a thing on my finger. So it'd be interesting to see if I do need a CPAP. But I've been trying different things, played around with some CBD. I've got some of that fade out product. I don't know if you can buy it in New Zealand. We'll leave it there, but it's really good. But it's weird because you take it and you get almost like I wouldn't say a beta alanine flush. It's more like that niacin kind of feeling. And then I find that I start breathing really quickly, like I'm having a little bit of an anxiety attack. And then I fall asleep and have dreams all night, wake up in the morning going, wow, what happened there?
I had 5-HTP once and my dreams are crazy. So I don't want to do that again. I'm like, so I don't like weird dreams.
Oh, I enjoy it. It's like a little adventure at night.
I think a seminar with Ronnie Coleman and he talked about his schedule and he goes, and he basically, he's up reading the Bible until like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, praying for new hits. And he goes, and he sleeps, he's only sleep 6 hours, but he goes, but I sleep hard. And I'm like, and you sleep hard, you sit like, squeeze, you know, you really close your eyes, you can dream harder than anyone. So what the hell is sleeping hard mean?
I saw him in Wellington. It may have been jet lag when he came to Wellington because he was sort of sitting around talking and sort of drifting off. And I was like, holy shit, what's going on here? And I was a bit, you know, probably pretty in awe because, you know, Ronnie Coleman in 2000.
Yeah,
he was really something, but it's really bizarre seeing someone just nodding off like that. And I thought,
he sat at the Nationals, which is, you know, because you're in it, I think, finished at about 1:30 in the morning. Tom Terry was with me, and told me the story. He says he sat and he watched every single athlete and he watched every routine. He said he was so professional, although everybody that came out, he would see the same thing. He goes, needs hard work. So Ronnie has commented about you, mate.
Yeah, I need hard work. He rolled out. That was when he rolled out in the King outfit, wasn't it?
This is like in 2000.
Yeah, Wellington
New Zealand Nationals. I don't know what he was wearing.
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, maybe. I bumped into him in the urinal. We're standing next to Ronnie, and I was like, I don't even know if I can piss. I'm next to the greatest bodybuilder on the planet. I'm incredibly nervous right now.
He'd take out three, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah. Leading out that way, no. It was very unusual.
You'd piss on your shoe and you'd thank him for it.
I'd never wash that shoe again.
There's a book, The Confessions of an Unlikely Bodybuilder that Matt Clark and I read. And there was a line in there that said, I would drink donkey urine from the source itself if it made me bigger.
Oh, gold. Right, onto the real deal, onto sports supplements in terms of things that you're using, either pre's, intras, and post-workout, etc. Aiden, we'll kick off with you. What's on your menu for the sports supplements? Oh,
so I'm pretty basic. I just use a protein powder, pre-workout, and an intracarb, just a standard kind of three. Protein powder, I just stick to Raisies, just get the plain Raisies vanilla.
Just a
whey protein, not the isolate. I've been on that for 6 months just now and haven't changed kind of, but really enjoy it. So it doesn't make me bloat or anything and it digests well and it, you know, I like the taste of it. So just stuck to that one. For a pre-workout, I normally use that Raisies Detonate, but or just drink those like zero calorie monsters occasionally from time to time. But one I've tried recently in the last few leg days and that have gone good. Those Redcon, those RTDs you can buy at the gym in the fridge. I've tried a couple of those. They're not bad, eh? They're those Total War. It's just the Total War pre-workout. That's pretty good. Gives you a good little dose of the tingles.
is there two versions of Total War? Because I had one. It was a sample. And someone said to me it might have been two servings because I took it, had the phenomenal workout, and then had a fucking massive anxiety attack that night. And I was like, and I don't usually have anxiety attacks, but I was like, holy shit, what's going on? And I had to ring someone. It was that bad. So I was like, I'm never taking it again. And then a guy goes, oh, I've got some Total War. Do you want one? Oh, yeah, I'll buy one. The workout outweighed the, yeah.
It's pretty stemmed up because like I've had like pre-workouts before and you get like the odd little face tingles and you feel it on your lips and that, and you feel it. But that when I had that total war, like when I tried the first one a few weeks ago, like I had it, it was on the hack squat and I could like feel my face tingling, my head tingling, like my shoulders and traps on the pads tingling, like you could feel it. It was so I've had it. Yeah, so don't have them very often. I might have them once every couple of weeks or something. But yeah, if we had a few of them now, they're pretty good. And then intra, I had that glycofuse, that Gaspari glycofuse for a while. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, but I was fine when I first started having it, but like a couple months in, it started to just make me feel like real bloated and I was getting sore, like stomach cramps at night and stuff.
A lot of guys say that. A lot of guys say that intracarb products, well, some intracarb products give them that, you know, upset stomach. I personally haven't. I've tried two or three different types and I've been fine with all of them. But I remember talking to Jordan. He said he'd gone to Gatorade because he said the other things were upsetting his gut. So might be a relatively common thing with that.
Yeah, so I've pulled pin on that now and I just do the same thing because I've seen on one of the podcasts, like that guy Sestino and Jay Cutler drinking Gatorade. So I've tried that, the Gatorade every now and then. But then just you can get that Raise's hydrate powder as well, which is just like it's kind of a intracarb, it's just more like a bit of dextrose than that. But I have that occasionally as well, and that's pretty much it, just a pre-workout, and then it's pretty much all Raise's, to be fair, really. Yeah,
you got the hookups with Kane, have you?
Oh, not so much, but Leisha, partner, she does quite a few bits and pieces with them, so she gets a bit. And I'll rate this up, but it's pretty good.
Good New Zealand company too. Yeah. Mike, what are you using these days?
Pre-workout wise, I don't use anything except on leg day where I use pre-workout. And I've still got some of the old Body Science Ultra Pre, which they discontinued. They're going to revamp and bring out. And it's got three pump ingredients in it. So I liked it for that. Even Paris did a post about it and shared about it. And I'm not a big stim head. Excessive stim actually inhibits your performance. Restricting blood flow and so forth. I like, you know, nice little picking up is great, but I'm after the pump, I want that big, you know, nutrient delivering pump into the muscles where that's going to cause the growth. At the end of the day, I've been training from, you know, long enough before they had pre-workout, so motivation isn't an issue to get me to the gym.
Mike, I will interject. Before they had pre-workouts, you could go to the chemist and buy the effervescent tablets.
No, I never did. So,
oh, did you? Yeah. Oh.
I've always been able to train hard without it. I don't actually like the feeling Ephedrine gives me either. And you remember before pre-workouts, I was on the drug testing program. So, and Ephedrine was banned at the time. So I had to sleep sitting upright. I couldn't take anything for sinus pains that I was getting, you know, CT scans on and whatnot. So I don't take anything other than on leg day because I need bigger legs. Well, I could have 40-inch legs and I still would complain. But but what I've switched to recently, I was doing the aminos intra, and then I watched a podcast by Tatiana, who works for Body Science. She was talking about, you know, if you're using aminos intra, you're going to burn the aminos, creating more ammonia in your system, which isn't good for muscle repair and recovery. But also probably explains why my sweat stunk so much. And I went, well, I don't really like smelling. And I had a chat with her and she says, you're not going to get any greater benefit having it before, during or after. So I have it afterwards instead. But during training, I've just switched back on to this one here, which is called myocytin. So it's a BSC product. It's basically a creatine transport formula. And so as we know, one out of five people don't respond to creatine. Well, I'm not one of those people. I still respond to creatine well anyway, but it's got carbs in there, it's got magnesium, a whole bunch of products in there. It's actually been tested at university level and proven to have a phenomenal results. Like compared to standard creatine, the results on this are 200% greater on growth and such. So when I go on that, my strength was going up. The you know, particularly, you know, like the results you'd get on standard creatine versus this, 7 times greater, university tested. And my bench was going up and up and up. And it got to the point where I was getting scared because we saw that video of the guy's chest tear recently. Like I'd be scrolling through, you'd see that come up on your page. And I'm flip through, I don't want to see that shit. And I was getting scared in the gym going, I'm going to
blow a peck out. On that, note, Aiden, you know the girl at the gym that trains really hard? I think she's a Samoan girl, trains with those boys. And she did look at the I just finished a set of 20 rep squats, and she goes, "Look at this." And she showed me a powerlifter going down in a squat, and I think he tib fib fractured, and his whole leg went inwards. And I went, "Oh, fuck, you didn't just show me that." Because I never watch stuff like that because it plays with my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I could unwatch that. It was horrible.
Well, my strength was going up so well on this. Like the other day, I just kept on putting plate on, and I'm close gripping 120 going, "This is getting out of hand. Something's going to blow on my old bones." So, but the growth and the strength and the fullness I'm getting from it is fantastic. And of course, you know, a fully hydrated muscle cell actually has a greater amount of protein synthesis. So it's worth taking it just because we're going to absorb more of the expensive stuff that we're paying for. So, you know, get more bang out of it. So yeah, I do that one and then post on some aminos. And that's basically it. You know, I know I can get everything under the sun I want, but the truth is, it's basically all I take.
Do you have any commentary on BCAAs versus EAAs? Because I've sort of heard varying things, and I'm kind of like, I just get BCAAs because they're a shit ton cheaper. And really, am I cutting myself short? Should I be using EAAs? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we do a BCAA, so I've got them both at the same time. Yeah. So, I did ask the question, and somebody said, "Oh, yeah, EAAs are, yeah, BCAAs are EAAs." So, like, there was a one is the other, but I can't remember the exact answer on it, but I have them both at the same time. But Bonnie's got to use them both. Dorian liked EAAs, he was reasonably good. There's a reason to use them, but otherwise, we do a BCAA, so I just take that, and it tastes sensational. And for those who want it, it's vegan. It's called Ultra BCAAs. So they taste fantastic.
Yeah, it's probably something I'll do a little bit of research on because, as I say, I don't like the concept of going and buying something and there could be a better product, but I just don't know.
The speed of absorption is the difference, isn't it, really? I mean, obviously, the EAAs are critical to have. The BCAAs are beneficial, fast absorbing. But, you know, it's a bit like repairing your car as soon as you've damaged it versus leaving it a week, isn't it? If you get them in, you're going to absorb them much, much faster than if you leave the gym and you're chomping on a steak. Well, that's going to take a bit of time to get in, you know. And let's face it, I mean, particularly after legs, I can't eat anything. So the best I can do is a water or a drink.
Yeah. And for me, you know, like I've got a good travel time to get home. I've got to drive out to the beach and she's a bit of a haul. So it's nice having that, you know, I don't panic. I've got to get home, got to have protein, da, 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 da. So my one's probably quite similar to you guys. I use a intracarb only on legs and back. I don't think I need them for the other days. It's just carbs for the sake of throwing carbs in there. And I tend to use an isolate. Just seems to be really easy to digest. It's fucking expensive compared to a concentrate. So every now and then, if I've had a big week and my account's looking pretty tragic, I'll stoop to having whey protein concentrate again. But you know, pretty standard stuff there. Recently, I'm a stim workout guy. Like I kind of get out of work, particularly when I'm bulking and I'm feeling a bit because I've just been forcing food all day. And I tend to have a reasonable stim workout, but pre-workout. But I always make sure that the caffeine content doesn't go above sort of 350, because as you say, Mike, once your caffeine, you know, once you're getting up over that level, you're starting to
constrict. What time of the day are you having this?
Probably 4:30.
And you've got sleep problems, you tell me.
No. Look, the minute I hit bed, I go to sleep, but I'm a tired, you know, like I'm a bit of a late night guy. I have that, and you know, I used to be a 3 or 4 cup of coffee a day. Now I only have one in the morning. I never have one in the afternoon.
You can fall asleep and have poor quality sleep, and absolutely, that's probably what you're doing.
Could well be.
Yeah. I'll try something with more of a nootropic effect on it. You're still going to get
the focus
without the buzz. Like, you know, whether it be something with choline bitartrate or whatever. So. Yeah,
I've enjoyed using some of the pump products, I suppose. And so, you know, in that respect, I try to keep that caffeine below that 350 mark, because otherwise, you kind of if you try to use both, I think you defeat the purpose. The other thing I've been doing, which both of you mentioned, was using a hydrate product. So I've used one that Jordan recommended to me, and it seems to make a huge difference. I have a scoop of that in my pre-workout, and I have a scoop of that with my intra, be it, you know, if I'm having carbs on a leg or back day, or if it's just an intra with some BCAAs and creatine. And I seem to be a lot fuller, and I'm getting through my workouts a lot better. And whether that's psychological, because Jordan said it's a game changer, you've got to try this hydrate product. So whether it's psychological and it's a bit of a placebo effect, but I genuinely I feel fuller, and I've been getting a lot.
Is it made with water?
mix it with water. Have a look at it, Mike, and let me know your thoughts on it. It's the Muscle Feast Hydrate. So it may be similar to the product you use, maybe similar to the Razies one. I don't know. If it is, I'll definitely go there, because I had to buy it on Amazon and wait 2.5 weeks for it to arrive. So, you know, it's not one that I can buy locally. So if there's other Hydrate products, I'm open to those things. But yeah, other than that, really, it's just pretty stock standard. Nothing too fancy.
Hydrate the more endurance athlete type products, or if you're doing I've never been a huge volume training guy, because I just hate it. So probably for people like that, or you know, it's really hot where you're training, but you know, if you're banging in and out, if you're doing a Dorian night 45-minute workout, probably don't need it. Water will probably be just fine, you know, if you look at hydration specifically.
I'm lucky to get out in an hour and a half now on a good day.
Leg day. I used to just go and do 4 minutes on the bike, couple of sets of leg extensions and start hitting it. Now my warm-up seems to take longer than the workout.
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of that in there too, eh? That's old age for us, though, isn't it?
Doc's spreading such a nasty rumour, Nate. I'm still a young man.
Someone said to me today, "What's that you've got in your bag?" This is a big tub. And I went, "It's deep heat. I cover myself in it because my joints are just fucking ancient." So that was my secret, my trade secret, elbow sleeves, knee sleeves, and deep heat. Thanks, guys. Been interesting. There's definitely some things I want to check out. Mike, send me some links. Real keen to. I do feel like, you know, I need to do a bit of an upskill myself. Probably, you know, everyone's got areas to upskill on, and there's a few things, you know, I probably need to do a bit more reading on pre's and my BCAs versus EAAs, etc. But thank you for your input, guys, and hopefully people learn something from that. So from us, thanks, Aidan, thanks, Mike, and to people out there, thank you for watching, and we will see you later in the week.